Lent, it has been said, is a time of preparation for Easter. Lent, it has been said, is a time of preparation for Easter. 40 days and 40 nights of particular practice so that we will be attuned to resurrection life, so that we will recognize it when it comes to us anew. Roman Catholic parishes are often particularly mindful of this journey to Easter because of their very effective RCIA program. RCIA stands for the Rite of Christian Initiation for Adults. Adult converts to Catholicism move through a very intentional process of study and preparation together, leading to their Easter baptisms. In parishes where catechumens, that word comes from the ancient church, where those who were preparing for baptism gathered in the catacombs for study. In parishes where catechumens are preparing for baptism, the whole community has a role in the initiation process. The primary texts studied for this rite of initiation are the Year A lessons in Lent, the very gospel lessons that we use in this season. Five stories shape the understanding of Christian life. The five stories are of Jesus being led out into the desert to notice the distractions of this world which entice us toward self-focus. Today's story of Nicodemus, who learns he must be born not just from the womb, but from the Spirit. Remember the story of the Samaritan woman at the well who discovers the limitless depths of forgiveness for her thirsting soul. Then the man born blind, who helps us to see past all of the veils of this life to deep, deep insight. And finally, the story of Lazarus, who died. Lazarus, who died and was returned to life. Roman Catholic catechumens and their communities enter deeply into these stories over Lent in order to prepare themselves for baptism, for conversion, and for Easter faith in the risen one. We might imagine those who embark upon such a path, we might imagine ourselves in Lent, to be on a pilgrimage route with five shrines, five occasions to immerse oneself in a particular story that reveals something essential about the risen life. Today, born from above, Nicodemus is a Jewish leader who comes to Jesus at night. He doesn't want anyone else to see. Nevertheless, he's still curious. He's curious and questioning a deeper journey of faith, that journey that Jesus seems to represent. He learns it's one thing to be born in the way that everyone is born. Well, actually, maybe there isn't just one thing. It's not just one thing, is it? While everyone, of course, is born, we're not all born the same, are we? Some genders in this world are preferred. Some races in this world are preferred. Some abilities are preferred. Are you born into poverty? Or are you born with a leg up in the world? It matters deeply where we were born, when we are born, to whom we are born. Judaism had its preferred births. Knowing all of this, Jesus adds another birth. A birth that transcends the how and when and where and to whom we are born. It is a birth that transcends parentage and place and all of the attachments that we have accumulated to shore up our life in this world. Born, he says, from above. Those of us who attended last Wednesday's interfaith conversation were given a profound gift by being in the gentle and holy presence of Imam Jamal Rahman. And one of the many things that Jamal gave us eyes to see was into some of the prayer practices that Muslims observe. Now, we can all, I'm sure, conjure images in our mind of rows of Muslims at prayer on their knees, on prayer rugs facing east to Mecca, and making repeated undulations from kneeling to bowing in prostration and then sitting up again. The prayer, as Jamal explained, was insightful. The prayer, as Jamal explained, is first a prayer for listening, for insight, and the hands of the prayer come up to her ears. Then, as the faithful bow forward in prostration, in this act of humility, the prayer is one of surrender, of letting go of the ego attachments that prevent the prayer from being her or his authentic self in Allah. And then, as the supplicant sits up, she holds her awareness of being part of the new life, unburdened and now free. Over and over and over and over and over again, this prayer in body and spirit is made. You see, you don't diffuse your ego on the first try. It's a lifelong practice of letting go, of surrender, and of rising up anew. One of the reasons I love learning about other religions is that I get to discover core aspects of my own faith tradition through the practices of other traditions. There are clearly differences between religions and very, very clear overlap between them. The differences, at least as far as I have been able to tell, tend to be in cultural context. They tend to be in emphasis and in the forms of practice and religious structure. The samenesses are usually in the areas which Jamal called universal scriptures, the ways that fit all times and all occasions and that cross all lines of religious difference, universal truths or wisdom. Notice in the Muslim prayer of prostration and rising the universal call to be, as Jesus would say, born from above, oriented or reoriented by the Spirit or to the Spirit, free of the insatiable demands of the ego. In John's Gospel, it is water and the Spirit, because he is laying the groundwork for baptism, the Christian ritual of rebirth. The birth pangs noted in Islam and in the story of Nicodemus involve this constant surrendering. To John's way of thinking, the lifting up of Jesus on the cross, that is his crucifixion, his surrender, is one and the same with his resurrection. The healing of Jesus comes in the letting go, in the letting go and then the looking up. As followers of Jesus on the Lenten pilgrimage, we stop at the shrine, this shrine of the invitation to be born again, born into a life that is not bordered and bound by parentage and or place, by status or sex. The wind blows where it will. You cannot control the spirit into which the disciple of Jesus is born. You know, Nicodemus isn't so sure. He's not so sure, but he is curious. And he has a longing for the way of new life. We'll see him again. We'll see him again in John's story of Jesus. And interestingly, each time that we do, he will take steps toward the light of day. You watch. But today is our day. Today is our day. This week is our week to linger at the shrine of new birth. Ever new birth on the road to Easter. As we perambulate this shrine, we wonder about surrendering ourselves to God, letting go of what holds us back. Well, it seems like it's going to kill us, doesn't it, to let go. So attached are we to our ideas of ourselves or to our privileged birth, the way we see in this world, who we see. In his book, The Fragrance of Faith, Jamal reports a story, a wonderful story of a saint who knew the language of animals. A saint who knew the language of animals and who asked a camel whether he preferred going uphill or going downhill. And the camel replied, "What is important to me is not uphill or downhill. It's the load I have to carry." Our ego attachments create an inordinate load, making the path of life so very arduous. As we walk this week on our pilgrimage to Easter, feed your longing soul. Feed your longing for God. Imagine sitting up in a state unburdened and born of the Spirit. Free. Wonder what you're holding on to that is worth sacrificing such life.